Good evening, everybody. It's Monday night. Welcome to the Third and Footlong Show. My name's Darren Lees.
And I'm DT.
Good evening, DT. How are you?
I'm all right, Darren. How are you?
I'm a bit average, hence the reason that we are not in the studio together, because I didn't want to spread any sickness, vile, horrible things to you. I've been collapsed on a couch, kind of like up to no good all day today.
And I appreciate that, but I am sick, so I can't show you my new platinum hair.
Oh, look at that. You've really gone to town on the hair.
Oh, wow. I know. You know how I said I was feeling werewolfy, so I went, you know, ultra, not werewolf.
I was like, you had the cap on for about 15 minutes before we started recording, and there it is, the big reveal live on camera.
The blonde,
We obviously, I was going to say, we obviously haven't sorted my colour blindness out yet, so I was just about to ask what colour, and then you did it.
Yeah, platinum blonde. I went, you know what, this feels very Lionsy. It's, you know, silver. May as well rep the team. I hope we don't get the browns again, because then I'll have disgusting orange hair. So.
That's right. Is there a team that plays in grey? Because that could be my team.
The Lions play in grey.
They have the colour rush. And me, I always thought they played in blue. So that just shows you about my colour blindness.
That's right. Only their ugly colour rush option.
Okay, there we go. So I've been trying to declutter, and boy, have I found out some garbage in my house.
Oh no, what have you found?
Well, do you know, about 2 months ago, we were looking for an Atlanta, because we were doing the videos. I didn't find the Atlanta cap, but one of my daughters had this big hoodie with Atlanta written across it. I was like, where were you 5 weeks ago when we were doing the horoscopes? Like, where were you?
No. So, you'll find the hat somewhere.
I think the hat's in the upper office. But the Atlanta hoodie has now been claimed and been put in a wardrobe to make sure that it never disappears again.
Good job.
Just in case we ever need an Atlanta hat, anyway. Hoodie. Here we go. So, look, everybody, if you're watching this, then don't forget to give us a like and a subscribe. Come on, give us a subscribe, because less than 10% that watch our videos are actually subscribed, and you could be one of the first people to see all of our new content.
And when Darren finally gets the new hair colour.
But I don't know if you've noticed that I've actually been keeping it longer.
Yes, so you also was unshaven last week.
That's right. Well, I'm not too good this week, because the plan was to have a shave today, but then obviously sickness hit, and that was the end of that. So I'm making a bit of a habit of the unshaven look, so I might need to tidy my act up a little bit.
That's all good. I'm enjoying you growing out a mohawk.
Thank you. Right, so here we are, as per usual, after a week's delay after last week's NFL draft. The food poll is back. And this one came up this week by just a chance conversation, when somebody said to me, so how do you have your steak? And I was like, that sounds like a food poll question if I ever saw one. So thank you to Corin Healy for asking me how I like my steak. We've already got a guest pollster for this week who'd also asked another question, so that'll be coming on this week's poll. So if you want to be part of our food poll, don't forget to get to the Third and Footlong Facebook page. Give it a like, and you will see all of our food polls going forward, and you'll be able to participate in them. So, DT, how did you do your steak before we get into the results?
I think I said medium rare, didn't I?
Are you the medium rare?
Yep.
I'm a fan of that approach.
I'm not blue. My cousin's blue. I didn't even know blue was a thing until I went out for dinner with her. As you got a blue steak, and it pretty much was just raw meat on a plate.
Was it just like, bleeding?
It was literally raw. She goes, yeah, so they like pan sear it for 8 seconds each side. And I went, are you a lion? It's just raw meat.
Do you stop the car when you're driving through the country and just pick up animals on the side of the road and take them home?
It felt like it. I was like, oh, God. But yeah, like, no. Not a blue person.
I didn't realise there were six different ones that you could choose from, because I thought rare was rare, but rare blue Which in brackets I actually put effectively fresh roadkill. Which says to me that your cousin is not following our page and doing our food poll. Because Rare Blue got 0 votes.
Yeah.
Maybe just the really acquired people participate in our food polls. What else did we have? I don't eat steak. Good Lord, 3% said they didn't eat. What is wrong with these people? Probably the same as these people. I'm a vegan vegetarian. Can we please have a potato poll next week? There was 4% of those. Well done. Effectively incinerated was also 4%. Medium well was 6%. Yep. Medium was 12%. Rare was 22%. And medium rare, me and you, 48%.
That's the best way. I do medium well if it's not a nice steak place.
Oh, yeah, just like char it, so you just, yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean. When you're at a restaurant, you're like, ooh.
Ooh, don't like the look of this.
Yeah.
I used to be a well-done person, and I don't know why, because then one day I just tried a medium rare, and I was like, why on earth have I just been eating bark for the last 10 years?
Was it from your school dinners? Was it maybe that?
I don't know, but I was like, it was probably when I was in late teens, early 20s. And I was like, why am I eating effectively something that just tastes like a stick? And when I had medium rare, I was like, why have I not been doing this for the last 10 years? So I was a convert.
Convert.
Maybe I just, like you say, I was subjected to horrific cooking for a period of time. And so we did have some comments, by the way. Analia said anything but medium rare is a hate crime. Strong word. And then, interestingly enough, Corin says, I wasn't expecting to see this. And then he attached something from the Donald J. Trump, real Donald Trump account that said, I support a fine young man and great comedian, Craig Westenberg. He has been unfairly treated in the comments by a loser and washed up hack Corin career. Craig is a great guy and his life choices on stake are correct. I mean, wow. I mean, how far do our food polls have to reach that they reach the Twitter account of the President of the United States of America? So, which Craig replied and said, I have nothing bad to say this week about Corin because the President said it all for me. Corin is a loser that eats bad steak and shouldn't even be allowed to listen to the third and footlong show because that show is for winners. Wow. There we go. Do you like some spice on your steak?
I know you will.
So there we go. Our food poll has finally made it all the way to the President of the United States. I mean, wow.
Make sure you like and subscribe.
That's right, yeah. Make sure. I'll double check just to see if he's definitely on the case. But so that concludes the food poll for this week. Next week, just to give you a heads up, it's going to be toasted sandwich flavours. There we go. Toasted sandwich flavours, of which there's a trillion. So I don't know how in hell I'm going to get that down to 10, but we'll give it a go.
Corn and cheese?
Mm-hmm. Wow. I don't know if that would have been on my list, but I'll have to put it on now just to give you something to vote for.
Corn and cheese.
Right, shall we crack on to some NFL news?
Yes. Well, do you want to give it a go?
We shall definitely give it a go. And I tell you what, I've got some good comments about our NFL news sound bite.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. So it's that's already proven out to be a favourite. So well done you on your sounds. So
I'm just smashing together a bunch of new sounds. So we don't get plagiarism, yeah.
No. Even though everybody keeps stealing our theme tune.
I know. What up, Jeff? What up, Jenny and Holmes?
I know. Just messing around with our theme tune. Like, I don't recall getting a phone call from these people.
No.
Maybe we should use this as this week's short and copy them in and see if they've got anything to say about stealing our theme tune.
Hey, both of us will take a house in reciprocation, Jenny and Holmes.
Yes, absolutely. Jenny and Holmes, you... give me a call. Actually, no, the guy that owns Genuine Homes, I should have just called him straight up, right, and just gone, hey, Richard, is there any chance you could just not take our theme tune? And if you are, could you at least give us a shout out to every house you sell? That when you're connecting in-house systems, that the third and footlong show is the essential viewing of the house.
It would be the new way to advertise.
It would be. Big brand. Got a
big
chance.
Big brand.
So, anyway, going back to the news, Russell Wilson, there seems to be every off-season now that he doesn't make it somewhere, that he's making it into the news. And now there's two options for Russell Wilson, we hear. It's either at the Jets as a backup or potentially going into television. What do you make of that?
See, I always viewed him as kind of like Jameis Winston-like, that he would go and run one of those giant mega churches. So that's where I thought he was going personally. But, yeah, no, I guess media, it could potentially be another Drew Brees situation where he's actually just not very good on media.
Yeah, well, it's been said that him and Kira want to stay in New York. Mm-hmm. Hence the reason, obviously, the Giants is now out. The reason of the Jets. I mean, going back up to Geno Smith. I mean, TV, yeah, but I saw his Subway adverts and he was not amazingly charismatic on those. So I'm not really sure how the whole TV thing's going to work for him.
I still remember the Hard Knocks Chargers?
Yes.
Sorry, off-season. Where everyone was just making fun of Broncos country? Let's rap. It's just all the Chargers. Because it's so corny that it's not good.
He is a bit of a cheese.
Yeah.
He is a bit of a cheeseburger, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's a lot of stuff going on around TV at the moment. Obviously, some of the networks are making changes, as we talked about last week. With Tomlin getting to TV, and then the Chris Sims firing has made a lot of news this week as well.
That's okay. He'll have his money, it's fine.
Getting into a bit of an argument, or not an argument, but a disagreement with Mike Florio. Mm. Over revealing some information in the ongoing Vrabel Rossini affair. Anything from you on news?
Well, because you know how much I love them, Texans defense extended Azeez Elshayer for 3 years, which I'm very happy because he's quite a key player and a tone setter on the Texans defense. So I thought you'd think I would say that.
Yep, I got it in mind, but I don't know why I bothered because I knew it was going to be in yours.
What about you?
Me, the very unusual situation where the Pittsburgh Steelers have placed a UFA tender on Aaron Rodgers, which means he can only sign with the Steelers unless someone picks up his entire sort of comes out, or they get a compensatory pick. Very interesting that they've placed a UFA tender on him. They've obviously turned around and gone, look, if you're not playing for us, you're not playing for anyone else.
Yep.
Or it's going to cost someone else a lot of money, and it's whether another team really wants to pick up a 42-year-old contract or not. So
I think it's a fair move from the Steelers, really.
Yeah, I think somewhere. I mean, he had apparently given his words to Art Rooney that he was going to make a decision before the draft, and he obviously hasn't in true Aaron Rodgers, attention-seeking style. And so they've just gone, okay, if you want to play that game, we can play that game as well.
Mm-hmm.
You got anything else? I got a couple more just in case.
Clive Campbell returning to the Ravens on a 1-year deal. Giants sign defensive tackle Shelby Harris, the two defensive tackle news. How about you?
Yep, I got Chad Brinker stepping down as the Titans president of football operations, which is incredibly interesting timing straight after the draft.
Well, normally they keep them on during the draft, don't they, then they?
Yeah. And of course he reported straight to the owner. So, don't quite know what's behind that, but good luck to him in whatever else he's doing. And then, of course, the ongoing saga of Anthony Richardson at the Colts. No one, zero interest for Anthony Richardson. His fourth year is guaranteed with the Colts. So the thought process is, well, they're not going to let him go if they're going to pay for him. Fact is, he's hardly ever going to play, because even if he gets to play, he'll get injured or he'll be too tired or something like that. So it looks like they'll leave him on the roster unless someone comes in, and then they'll just cut him at the end of the year.
To be fair, though, the person in front of him is quite injury-prone, so you might see him the field. The other saga, though, that I didn't actually know was still ongoing, I thought they'd released him, Brandon Ayuk and the 49ers. can't trade him because he won't pick up the phone.
No, that's right. That is a relationship that has fallen over quite badly. And they're probably going to want some quite big collateral for him as well, I should imagine. And mm-hmm. I don't think teams really want to pay him.
Yeah, well, his contract, they also voided his contract.
Yes. So, you know, there was a lot of players at his position around in the draft as well. So no one, I think, felt that they really had to go for him. So I don't know what it is. Is it the 49ers? Do they constantly fall out with players? It kind of gives me the feeling. Yeah. That they constantly fall out. And then last week, I think we talked about the John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan in the draft room, cold,
tension.
No emotion. Kyle Shanahan looked like he would just rather have just gone anywhere else but there. So, really weird at the 49 for such a successful team. The weird behaviour that we get is quite interesting, so...
And then the Browns' new stadium looks quite cool. So I'm trying to finish for 2029.
Yeah, no, the Browns, a lot going on in their world at the moment. So that'll be good. It'll be good for them to get a new stadium. So, go our former team.
Go Browns. I'll leave you to say the last piece of news that you want.
No, I've got nothing else. That is me. I have actually got one more piece of news, but I'm going to use it. In the Monday Night Showdown instead, so I'm going to save it for that.
Dun,
dun, dun. I know. Just got to wait another 10 minutes to find out what it was.
I know. Should we go to what we think? And we are doing this draft style. So I get to pick three teams. Darren gets to pick three teams. Darren goes first. And we go better. Who do we think got better this NFL offseason?
I think that's incredibly kind of you to let me go first.
I made you do this, so...
I know. But it is very kind of you to still do that, so... I've got an embarrassment of riches I can look at here. Okay, well, if I'm going to go, I'm going to go for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh.
As a kickoff. I thought the acquisition of Mekhi Lemon, stealing him off the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know that I was quite high on Eli Stowers. Of Vanderbilt as well.
Yes.
Because I had him going in the first round and he eventually went to the Eagles. So the only problem with the Eagles is can they sort their internal nonsense out and what is the hell is worth going on? I mean, it's obvious that AJ Brown's gone. I think he's gone. And I think that will make them better in itself by trading Mekhi Lemon. So whilst he's not a draft story, he actually is by association of Mekhi Lemon. And I actually think for the culture of the team, that will make them a better team, if nothing else.
I also thought their pickup of Jonathan Greenard was outstanding, because they're going to get a compensatory pick back for Jalen Phillips. So pretty much they ended up being like a one-third round pick for Jonathan Greenard, and they've sorted their edge rusher position. It was a fantastic move.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know. I sometimes, you know, when you look at teams and you go, who's a well-run team? Because you certainly know who's not a well-run team, right? And you look at the Eagles, and they just seem to be so well-run from top to bottom.
Yeah, so much drama.
There always is a bit of drama, but it almost seems to involve the head coach, right?
Yeah.
You know, he's such a polarizing character as Nick Sirianni, but, you know, from that point of view. But I would say I would have the Eagles. I don't know if you agree or disagree or whether you had them on your list or not.
So the teams that I think got better, someone who I think got a lot better, is actually the Titans. I think the coaching, so mainly it's the coaching staff, because when you get Robert Saleh and Brian Daboll, you're going to have a much improved team, because you've got someone who can definitely coach defense up. You've also got some great pickups this year. They signed like a gajillion players in free agency, like so many players. And their offense, I think, like Daboll ran a good offense in last year with Giants and Jackson Dart, like it was fun. And I think like the addition of Tate and Wandale Robinson, and then also I think the only other thing they should do is maybe they should go and sign David Njoku, because they don't really have a tight end that receives in the room, because they lost to Conquoy last year. So that would be the only kind of thing that I think the Titans could do to improve. But I really think their defense is going to be good. They've got so many players on the defensive line that they picked up. And yeah, I'm excited for the Titans because I also actually think that two teams in that division got a hell of a lot worse.
Yes.
So their division, also interesting. I would say there's one team in the division that I love one side of the ball and have no idea what they're doing on the other side. So I don't know. I'm feeling hot on the Titans, and when our picks come around, I don't know, they might find their way into my playoffs.
Yeah, I wonder who that could be. But of course, next week we will cover off who we thought both were worse as part of the draft. Okay, just to give you another one for me. I think the New York Giants. You know, whilst they let go of Dexter Lawrence, I think the inclusion of Arvell Reese, Francis Moyenoa, Colton Hood from Tennessee, Malachi Fields, you know, and then they also brought in Isaiah Likely. They had Cassius Howell, the Jackson Dart, as long as they can keep him healthy. They are a contender to win that division this year.
100%.
So, yeah, I mean, getting those two picks in the top 10, I think has paid well for them. I mean, it is going to be a bit like the Baltimore Giants. We kind of see what John Harbaugh's doing already. But, yeah, they're definitely a contender, and they are. I think they're a strong case to win that division this year. Better coaching and a great set of pickups in the draft as well.
So my next team, this is where I got really, really hard for me, because there's a few teams that I really enjoyed what they did, but there's one team that I enjoyed every single move they did, except they haven't fixed one key issue, and that is the Pittsburgh Steelers, because they got so much better in the defensive backfield, which was an issue for them last year. Their offense, regardless of the quarterback, they picked up Dowdle, who'll be great opposite Warren. They picked up Pittman, who'll be good with DK Metcalf. They then got the Jeremy Bernard from Alabama. Like, they've got a loaded in the tight end room. Like, and their offensive line is better. Like, everything has gotten better with that team, except they haven't fixed the main issue, which was quarterback. I think it could be interesting to see what, you know, you've got out of Drew Lar and Will Howard, but I also think the coaching staff on offense got better with Mike McCarthy compared to last year with Arthur Smith. So yeah, I had to put them on there because I really thought they got better. They haven't solved the one key issue, and it's annoying me so much because I'm like, you could quite frankly go up, like I said weeks ago, into off-season favorites, but you still have this major issue at the key position of quarterback.
Well, I mean, look, I think the Steelers were relatively strong beforehand, but they did make some moves. Do I think they're the best team in that division? Well, we'll probably see next week when we talk about teams that have got better or worse. But I don't know. They've also got some aging pieces on their team as well, so I'm not sure. And as you say, that QB thing is massive, right? If they get that wrong, or Rodgers decides not to come back, that's a whole different ball game altogether.
Actually driving me insane. Like, why? Can you just fix that? It's so frustrating.
Have I got one more to go?
Yes, you do. One more to go.
I do. Well, if you want me to talk about exactly what you've been talking about loading up on some good talent and not fixing one position, let's go to the Cleveland Browns. Our Cleveland Browns from last year.
Yeah.
Spencer Fano, Casey Concepcion, Denzel Boston, Emmanuel McNeil Warren, plus obviously Myles Garrett and everything else that they've got there already. And the QB situation is just an absolute shambles. Absolute shambles. I mean, they must be, if they're not regretting the day they even looked at Deshaun Watson, because that has really put this franchise back about 10 years. I think they're on the way back out now, but I think they've still got another couple of years to fix that until they get rid of Deshaun Watson's contract.
So they weren't on my list because I don't know where I stand on Todd Monken, because they've also lost their amazing defensive coordinator in Josh Schwartz. Like, so,
yes.
Where do you stand on the coaching? Because I think the coaching got worse.
I think you're probably right. But I was just looking at the team from a draft perspective. I think they've drafted really well. So whoever was in control of the draft has done a great job. Whether Munkin had much of a say into that or not, I don't know. But you're right, the Cleveland Browns, from a coaching perspective, I could still see them having a losing season this year with the strength of the teams in their division and stuff like that, which would then give them a relatively high pick next year for a better quarterback if they were like to move away from Deshaun Watson, walk away from Shedeur Sanders and the other 97 quarterbacks they've got on their roster.
Dylan Gabriel, Taylen Green.
I don't understand at all. I don't understand that at all.
So I think he's another, which I finally remember the name of the player while I was woke up the other night, for Terrell Pryor, which the Cleveland Browns did actually quite successfully turn the quarterback into a wide receiver quite well. So hopefully they do that again if they're going to do that.
Look, so, I think Taylen Green is not a quarterback here.
You never know. So, my last pick, although we could pick some more if you want, is, because I also considered the coaching staff, the Atlanta Falcons. I think their coaching staff vastly improved. I think Kevin Stefanski will get a run game in there, which will really help either quarterback, Tua or Penix. I think the addition of Brian Robinson to replace Algier, who left. I think Austin Hooper. I think he's brought in some really good pieces. They've also shored up the defense with Sidney Brown. And then I enjoy the pickup of Zachary Branch to work opposite Drake London. So, yeah, I think they got better. And again, their division, not super strong. So, yeah, we'll see with Pierce, because that's obviously a massive factor on their defense. But their pass rush looked better last year considering the previous years, and their back, like their defensive backfield, you could put up in the top five, because especially with Avion Terrell and AJ Terrell, they've now got really great. And then you got Simmons, not Simmons, he came from the Bengals, name escapes me right now, and then they picked up Sidney Brown as well. So I think JJ Bates, that's it.
I may be wrong, be interested in your thought on this. I think the NFC South was one of the few divisions where I think every team got better.
Yes.
Every team got better. I mean, I was quite interested. I don't know if they're on your list. They're certainly not on mine. But yesterday I was watching some footage where some talking heads in the States were saying that they thought Tampa Bay won the draft. And I was like, no. No. After, yeah, they got like, oh, I can't think of his name now. Reuben Baines. But I'm like, that doesn't win you the draft. Like, that's not winning the draft.
Tampa Bay's done this really rare thing where I think they've stayed exactly the same, because they lost some very key people, but they've actually replaced them really well. So I think that's what's happened, is that Tampa Bay kind of won the draft and that they had such a terrible losses that you go, oh no. But then you go, oh, actually, you replaced them. So I think they've actually almost done this thing where they stayed exactly the same.
Yeah, I think for once we may actually see the NFC South have a division winner with a winning record.
Yeah.
I know, that's wild, but, you know.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if you want to talk any more. I had some that I could just, notable mentions, if you wanted to call them.
Yeah. I think we could go one notable mention each.
Then you go one notable mention, you do it.
So this is hard, because they're both from AFC West, but I'm going to lean towards, because I've already talked about this in previous weeks, so I'm going to actually lean towards that one, which is the Chiefs. I think the return of Bienemy is quite a big deal, because I think their offense past 2 years has been undisciplined, and he really brings back the discipline on offense. I think they brought in a running QB to maybe take any of those weird short running attempts that they may have used to have used Mahomes potentially for. So I think that will be cool, Justin Fields. And then they've got a running back support, finally, Kenneth Walker, who will be good to have. And then they've shored up the defense. And, like, they have lost Trent McDuffie, which is a big loss, but hopefully Delane comes in, who you know very well from your LSU fandom.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think the defensive talent has got better. And, quite frankly, the last few Super Bowls the Chiefs have been in, it's their defense that got them there, not the offense. So I think they're kind of going back to what actually got them the wins, and that was defense. And they've really reinvested it, and they still have Spagnuolo, and he does do a good defense. So, yeah, I think it's a much better Chiefs team compared to a year ago.
Yeah, obviously, again, that support for Chris Jones as well, because he had a bit of a down year last year.
Yeah, he was.
So,
aging.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the Chiefs have got some aging pieces, right? Tight end, So
I was surprised they didn't really do anything at tight end.
No, me too.
Sorry.
Me too. Because there was some good tight ends on the board.
Yeah.
You know, there was some good tight ends on the board, so... and, okay, then because of that, that's made me... That's made my decision. I had three potentials of who I could have gone for. I'm going to go for the Jets. I think QB, like other like a couple of other teams, still remains a problem. But David Bailey, ready now, ready to go. He's gonna make a massive difference. The said tight end, Kenyon Sadiq, great pickup, gives some real offensive power, as does Omar Cooper Jr. from Indiana. So they've really loaded up that front line to whoever is the quarterback to give them some weapons to really throw at.
I also like what they've done on defense.
Yes.
Because they got the two intelligent, they got Minka Fitzpatrick and DeMario Davis' return to the Jets. So they've got that spine with the intelligent kind of leaders on defense as well to help out there.
Yes.
My big question still for the Jets, which is why I couldn't actually put them in the top, is the coaching staff.
Coaching, yeah. Coaching,
you better deliver. Because you have got a roster and a half.
I think if they would have had a better season last season, I actually think they make a different decision at number two. And I think they'd have actually gone for Avell Reese. But on the basis that he's under so much pressure, they had to get a win now. Whereas Avell Reese is going to, I think, be the better player longer term. But I think that he needed to win now, otherwise he's fired in the first half of the season if they start 1-5. So, that was my honourable mention.
That was my honourable mention.
So here we go.
The Chiefs.
Yes, the Chiefs, I know. So it's Monday night, so you know what that must be time for. It is the Monday Night Showdown. And this week, it's my turn.
Is this your turn?
It is, and it calls back to someone that you've just mentioned. So how about this for a segue? Because you have no idea what I'd put, and I have no idea what you'd put. So the Monday Night Showdown features the AFC West. This week, it was announced that Bo Nix has got to undergo a second surgery on his injured ankle. So he's likely to miss most of the preseason. And it is highly unlikely that Patrick Mahomes won't start the season as he recovers. Is there a chance that the Broncos and the Chiefs finish third and fourth in their division if both of their starting quarterbacks can't get on the field or be as fit as they were in the first 4 to 6 weeks of this season?
No, because I don't have much faith in the Raiders. So I think there's a chance they could be second and third. But I don't have much faith in the Raiders for the pure fact their head coach got the last of the pickings of the assistant coaches available and all of that, which I think does actually make a big deal when you have a head coach, new head coach who wasn't able to hire their staff earlier in the period. I also think Kirk Cousins last year, I don't know about you, but he didn't look amazing.
The Falcons were an overall shambles last year under that coaching.
Also, the other thing, like the Raiders, they fixed their offensive line. They've got a running back. Still, who's he really throwing to? Like, you've got Brock Bowers, and then the wide receiver depth. It's not like you have any superstar powers there.
Yeah, I mean, they got Mike Washington in, so they've got that 1-2 punch on the running back. So maybe they're going to be a run-heavy team this year. Mendoza is a very safe pair of hands. Very, very few interceptions. Now, obviously, the NFL is a different, you know, it's a different thing to what we saw at college. But I think, and of course, Indiana probably weren't playing in the strongest of divisions and stuff like that. They weren't exactly playing in the SEC or anything, but I don't know. The coaching, Kubiak's good. I think he's going to really make a difference there. If Cousins doesn't start well, I don't think he'll have any doubt in ditching him. And that's, of course, if Cousins doesn't start. But I don't know. Last year, the Chiefs without Mahomes regardless of what picks they've made this year, they struggled like hell. And, you know, Garrett Nussmeier, he's, you know, 2 years ago, Garrett Nussmeier was good. Is the current Garrett Nussmeier
any good? Justin Fields ahead of him. You have Justin Fields ahead of Nussmeier. Yeah.
But, like, Justin Fields was, like, having minus 40-yard games last year.
Like, you know. He was also on the Jets.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, I think where's Fields been? He's been to the Steelers. He's been to the Bears. He's never really made it work. He's probably got the best coaching staff now that he's ever had, arguably.
Yes.
I will give you that. And we saw what happened to the Broncos in the AFC Championship when they had to put Jared... I'm stunned that Jared Stidham is still the backup quarterback there. To me, I think because he only signed a 2-year contract and last year was the second year, I'm surprised they haven't made a move there because he was not good in that game. I mean, he was like, watch out, you watch me. Yeah, we're still watching. So I think there's a very real chance that the Chargers could win the division under those circumstances. And there's always one surprise team every year. And I don't know, the Raiders have got a lot of parts. I mean, obviously they got Crosby back as well and stuff like that. You just feel, you know, as we said last week, though, if Mendoza doesn't work for them, they probably are in the wilderness for another 5 to 10 years in that division.
It's a very, very unproven coaching staff. The defense do have pieces, but they're still overall not. They're not like, if you have to pick up the defenses in the division, you would go number one, Broncos, number two, Chiefs, number three. Number three is difficult because I actually don't know between the Chargers and the Raiders. I'm not sure because the Chargers just lost their defensive coordinator, so I'm not entirely certain who you would actually pick between those two. But it's interesting because I feel like people are very high on the Raiders. I think organizationally, historically, the Raiders just have not delivered. That I find it very hard that I think I'm at this point with like a team like the Raiders where I'm like, what's actually different here compared to the last 30 years?
I know what you're saying about unproven coaches, but Liam Cohen at the Jaguars last year, you know, and I don't know, did the Jaguars have the roster that, you know, the Raiders probably arguably, they had the number one running back last year, probably wasn't used well. They've got Brock Bowers, who was probably the best tight end that's come out of college in the last 3 years. Mendoza, you know, when they had that 6 or 7 quarterbacks who went in the top 12 that year, where would Mendoza have got? That's where I always like to kind of judge people, as you look at that year where they had 6 or 7 that come out in a year. Mendoza probably would have gone at least third in that lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
So, you know, they've kind of built in some pieces. But yeah, they've got to, you know, they've got to click pretty quickly if they were to overcome the Chiefs. But if, you know, Mahomes. Yeah. But if Mahomes was to have a setback and couldn't play until October or November.
But was the news today was he's likely expected it. So.
Yeah, I know.
Also, Mahomes is just weird in terms of like his body composition. You see some things where you're like, oh no, he's done. Like, because you see on the like, on the Zoom or the slow-mo, his knee is bent some weird way. And he just gets back up like nothing happened. And you go, what?
Yes.
What's going on with this man? Like, that's not how that should happen. So I don't know. I have a way more faith in Steve Spagnuolo than I do in the Raiders coaching staff.
Yeah. What do you reckon about the second ankle surgery, which they're calling procedural, just to make sure everything's clean and tidy, but he's gone for 2 or 3 months, so it's not so kind of straightforward.
Ankles are weird. Ankles are very weird. They're also very hard to heal because, of course, like the further away from your heart you go, the less blood and the less healing ability. So I think ankles are a strange one because there's so many tendons, so many things that link in. It's like foot injuries are also difficult. So I'm not sure. You kind of hope it's just a clean-up procedure, but you do go, oh, that's a bit strange that you have to have a second procedure. Because normally they do say it's a clean-up procedure if it's just a clean scar tissue or to maybe remove some bolts or something that they put in.
If Bo Nix was to be injured long term, I think that puts the Broncos in a really tough position because obviously with having the cheap quarterback for the next 5 years, that allowed them to just load up everywhere else. And if you've lost your quarterback, you're not going and getting another $10,000. You know, I know it's about.
So there are still two quarterbacks that theoretically are. So there's your ever-loving favourite, Anthony Richardson. But the other person who didn't get traded this off-season, which everyone expected, is actually Mac Jones. And I would say Sean Payton could quite easily, if Bo Nix is out for half a season, could quite easily get Mac Jones in there, and he would be a capable starter for them.
Here's the one for you. How about the Denver Broncos go out, especially if it's a one-year thing recovery for Nix? They go and take Aaron Rodgers from the Steelers. For 1 year.
And what's funny about that is, remember so many years ago, it was that's why they hired Nathaniel Hackett.
How weird would it be that he ended up at the Broncos when Nathaniel Hackett wasn't there? Now look, obviously he was really dark on Sean Payton when Sean Payton publicly called out. So could they work together? Well, I don't know, possibly not. But if the Denver Broncos put $25 million for 1 year, you know, and sort of like $10 million, $15 million sort of guaranteed, and then $5 million if they make the playoffs, $5 million if they make the Super Bowl or something like that. I think so. That's something like that because, you know, and if you're going to end your career, coming into a division with Harbaugh, Reed, Brady as an ownership, and Mahomes, Herbert, and Mendoza, I mean, what better division do you want to compete in to finish off your career?
It's interesting because also Sean Payton's used to having a veteran quarterback, so he's a bit used to having off days for the veteran QB and having different sort of treatment for them. I do think, though, I think I'd prefer to see Mac Jones in Sean Payton's offense because he can actually move, whereas Aaron Rodgers cannot move. Because Bo Nix with the offense, when he was able to move the pocket a bit, it looked good. Like, it looked fun offense to watch. As in watchability-wise, I think I would prefer Mac Jones over Aaron Rodgers and Sean Payton's offense.
I mean, I think there's no doubt, though, Aaron Rodgers can throw a ball better than anyone else who's available, even at 42. Yes, his arm may not be as strong, but his accuracy. And last year, you know, one of the criticisms about Nix was like deep ball and stuff like that. But if you look at the Broncos' drops last year, they had a shed ton of drops. Which really hindered, you know, how Nix looked. And when you actually look at the two-year stats for Nix, in some of those categories, he stands alone, like over any quarterback in the history of the NFL. So if he had someone that could, one, catch, but two, maybe if there was a slightly more accurate quarterback, which I would say Rodgers is more accurate than Nix.
Oh, definitely.
Then who knows, right?
Do you know, well, you've watched Rodgers for years. You know how he just doesn't throw to you if you drop the ball? So if all the Broncos wide receivers drop the ball, who's he throwing to? Is he throwing to himself? That would be quite entertaining to watch because he then has to throw to someone. And if all of them still keep dropping the ball, then he's got nowhere to go.
Maybe that's in some of the games why he was throwing so many interceptions, because he's like, well, look, this is how you catch a ball. Watch.
Yeah.
But I think that's going to be interesting to watch the AFC West. I mean, you're right. Mahomes is rumoured to be coming back and is on schedule. Bo Nix is also meant to be starting the season. But if they don't, I think that turns the AFC West right upside down.
Yes. You're also very high on the Raiders. I'm excited to see if you pick them to go to the playoffs.
They're not one of my favourite teams, let's put it that way. But I'm interested to watch what they're going to build there. I'm interested to watch. So they had a couple of good pieces there already. They've acquired good pieces. So let's just see where it all goes, eh? I think they could be a surprise team.
Yep, they're your surprise team.
Right, well, there you go. That was Monday Night Showdown, and that is the end of our show. So thanks for listening. As we said at the start, if you are watching, give us a like and don't forget to subscribe. Get onto our Insta and TikTok pages if you want to see us doing really cool dances and such things. And then get onto the Facebook page if you want to do our food poll. So that concludes the show. My name's Darren Lees.
And I'm JT.
Thanks for listening, and we'll be back with you next Monday night.
Whatever happened to PJ Colby? Wonder, can you fix it, Jim? The hell do you think of Scott Walker? My memory is getting so dim. Don't have no frame of reference no more. Not even screaming, Lord, such. Fight 'em now, there's no waving, newly parted. Nowadays, I guess there's not much to relate to anymore. Unless you wanna be mediocre. There's nothing new under the sun and the moon and the stars now chum. I'm making my way down the highway. Still got a monkey on my back. Facing it head on and doing it my way. Please, can you cut me some slack? You wanna be mediocre. Hey, nothing new under the sun and the moon and the stars now show. Still making my way down the highway. Still got a monkey on my back. Facing head on and doing it my way. Please, can you cut me some slack? All the cards fell so many rounds. Down the road a piece jack. Saw a bus coming and I had to get on it. I'm still trying to find my way back. Whatever happened to all those dreams a while ago? Whatever happened way across the sea? Whatever happened to the way it's supposed to happen? And whatever happened to me?
Four point six Planet FM, making connections with your community every day, with funding support from New Zealand On Air.
Embers think it's done, but they are mistaken, 'cause it ain't even 1 o'clock. Embers think it's done, but they are mistaken when they're singing their morning song, their morning song at 12:45.
Come on to my house. said, them birds. I said, well, what about them birds? She said, them birds, she said. You don't know it, young'un, but a bird can spit. I said, say what? She said, he can spit. Open his mouth and spit, and you got your mouth open, it goes in there. You dead, young.
Oh, City on air on